passage. So we'll start in John 8 and then spend a good amount of time in Romans. John 8, I'm going to start off a little bit fast because I've covered some of this area before in the last couple years. Then we'll spend a little more time a little bit later on some points. I have 6 points. John chapter 8, pretty famous passage used by everybody for everything, from politicians to guys in the streets and from people using it for its context, being free by Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 30. Then he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him, and Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'll get to that. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom from bondage. Let's pray. And Lord, there's a lot in just in this passage, Father. In the 5 or 6 verses we just read, Lord, I could preach an entire sermon. Your word is rich. It's a sponge full of complete, rich blessings that we squeeze out and realize I just started squeezing and there's more than I can handle already. And we squeeze more and more and eventually find out this thing never runs out. It's eternally deep. But Lord, we're looking a little bit at just this passage and many others, Father. And Lord, I believe, Lord, this week you've kind of led me toward this message, though I don't know everything in the word about it, Father. I do pray you would take what we're going to study and you would powerfully speak and bring things to my remembrance and speak in other areas and whatever you want said. We just yield this service to you to help us understand how we can be free and not in bondage. May thy spirit speak. May you anoint us with power. We can do nothing without you, and we pray that we would have you and leave having seen clear evidence that you dwelt among us and that you changed some of our lives. Lord, many people are in bondage. We pray that we would not be that way when freedom is so clearly given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people don't really know they're in bondage. They think they're choosing to, that they would say, I'm choosing to do what I want to do and have fun. But you understand, a wrong is anything that's not God's way. Okay, Isaiah 53 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We've gone every man to his own path. Luke 11:23 says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Okay, there is God's way, and then there is the devil's way. You say, I didn't choose the devil's way, I chose my way. You understand, the devil, the destination, you're going to Portland. Okay, let's say you're going to Portland. You got to get on I-5 South. The devil doesn't mind if you get on 18. He doesn't mind if you get on 90. He doesn't mind if you get on I-5 North. He doesn't mind if you go on First Avenue. He just doesn't want you to get on the road that gets you to Portland. Do you see any other road that keeps you? If you got to get to Portland, there's treatment there, and that treatment can save your life. If the devil can get you to go any road, even if it's going south, as long as it's not going to Portland. If it takes you to the Dalles, it's the Dalles, by the way, not the Dallas, if you're not from the Northwest. And if it takes you to the Dalles, then you didn't get to Portland. You went the wrong way. If it takes you to Puyallup, then you will, guess what? Then you're stuck in traffic, the devil wants you to go any other way but God's way, and so many people think they're doing the right thing and they're doing their own thing. They don't realize they're being nudged enough to get them off track. Okay, you don't have to be a Satanist to go to hell. Okay, you don't have to be a God hater to be sinful. Okay, you just have to not go on God's way. And there's many distractions, many ways. And many people don't really realize they are not free. We don't relate to we don't relate to bondage. I've said I think I can endure just about anything. The one thing I've said before that it would just be very difficult to me would be to be in jail for the rest of my life. Much rather be executed. Okay, to be in jail the rest of my life is just torture to me. I not be able to go and be free and drive somewhere and be in fresh air and being, you know, with the family and climbing trees and do whatever I want to do and just to be in bondage. We don't know what it's like to be slaves, which is the most common reference we'll deal with today. As a matter of fact, we are so bred for independence because of where the country we're from and where our forefathers came from, the kind of people that Americans are, that the idea of being in bondage is so repulsive to us. Most of us couldn't even be a servant. Where a servant was not slavery, but a servant was, say, a butler or something like that. Even then, we say, I'm not going to serve some people for my whole life and have to do that. Even if I was going to starve, because it's so repulsive to us to be in some kind of bondage somehow. But many people don't realize they're in bondage. In this story, the amazing thing is the Jews that he's referring to don't realize their condition. It says, you'll know the truth, verse 32, and it'll make you free. Verse 33, they say, just one of the dumb statements you'll ever read in your life. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? How that they could possibly make that statement and not realize they were currently in bondage to Rome? And Rome took them away from bondage to the Greeks. And Greece took them away from bondage to the Persians. And Persians took them away from bondage to the Babylonians. Do you not remember a Red Sea crossing and you came out of slavery in Egypt? How do you say we've never been in bondage to any man? We're Jews. You've been in bondage for 600 years or so, right at this point. What do you mean you've never been in bondage to any man? Okay, go do whatever you want there in Jerusalem and see what happens. See what the centurion Roman soldiers come down on you. You're in bondage. We've never been in bondage to any man. Read Judges. Over and over and over, God put them into bondage because they weren't good and then sent them to deliver. But you don't realize many times you're in bondage. It's a pride thing, I think, where we don't realize our situation. Many people in this room are in bondage. They just don't realize it. I could quit whenever I want. Or you say, well, I don't do drugs and I don't smoke. And no, by the way, nobody thinks of smoking as bondage. You know, I mean, it's not like some guy's making me smoke them. So it's not like bondage. I'm not like a slave to the cigarettes because, you know, it's my choice. You see how the devil makes you not realize you're in bondage? Okay, quit. You don't have money for it, right? No. Quit. Well, I could if I wanted to. I would, you know. I'm not in bondage, though. Because the devil never wants you to feel like you're in bondage. But bondage can be so much more than an addiction. Bondage can be you being tied up where you don't realize you can do great things for God. Bondage can be you not being free to not be bitter. Bondage can be you not being able to forgive. See, we love to say those addicts ought to give up and just stop. Okay, good. And so should the bitter people. It's good preaching, Brother Byram. I like that. Amen. Anything that's got control over you. Why don't we think the person who can't stop eating as being in bondage? And it just, their food controls them. They're a slave to food. As I have a rhesus in my pulpit here. But I could stop at any time. If I wanted to right now, I could give this to Matthew or Robbie. But you know how bad this is for them. I'm not going to do that to them. And because I love them. So I could give it up. What did that go? No. But we don't realize how many things we're in bondage. And sometimes bondage just, you know, the same sin, the same sin, the same sin, the same sin keeps on getting me. Sometimes you're in bondage because you cannot be kind to someone. You're not free to be kind to that certain person that you just cannot, every time, you just cannot be nice to them. You're in bondage. Right? Like if you say, I can't, I just can't, then you're in bondage. Okay. So don't be like the Jews and say, I'm not in bondage. I'm not smoking crack. Okay, good. I'm glad. That's the obvious bondage. And by the way, that's why drug addicts are so much more repentant, because they know they're in bondage than the person who's in bondage because they can't find a way to make it to church every Sunday. Because it doesn't look like bondage. And Jews say, look, they let us run our own nation, and we have the Sanhedrin and the Pharisee and the council, and we can do some things in our own. Remember, they had to go have the Romans crucify Jesus because they weren't really free. Just the Romans made it feel like it. And in 70 AD, the Romans says, you're a little too rebellious. We're squashing you, which is what they did. Why? They weren't really free. And they thought they were free. They weren't. And you're not free. You really aren't free. Black people in America weren't free in 1868. They weren't as in bad a bondage. Slavery was outlawed, but there were still a lot of issues where they needed to be changed. So a few things here. First of all, notice that you continue in the word, then you become his disciples. First thing, I'm going to give you just some ways to be free. First of all, first way to be free is we are free by the word of truth. Verse 31, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, okay? Let me give you the steps here because people misunderstand these steps. You continue in the word, then are you disciples, and then you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Do you have to be freed before you can continue? See, what happens, a bunch of people start at the start, and then they go, well, I've got to get my life clean up, then I'll follow Jesus. No, you're not gonna. Jesus took all kinds of mess of people and said, follow me. He didn't tell them, he said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And so it says you continue in his word. You learn the Bible. You go to church. You study the word of God. You start learning. You start growing. Then as you're following, continuing in what he's given you, you know the truth. Then the truth makes you free. But you listen, I didn't know this doctrinally. I just did it. I knew I had this huge hunger for the Word of God. I began studying it, just devouring the Word of God. My life still wasn't changed yet. I still had in this pocket my wallet, and behind my wallet, so I wouldn't have a ring in my pocket, so my mom wouldn't know I chewed, was my Copenhagen. And in this pocket was my Gideon's New Testament. Okay? And I read that Gideon's New Testament a lot, but the Copenhagen was still pretty strong. Why? I was going to change, but I had to continue in the word. If you will just say, I'm going to keep serving God, I'm going to do it no matter what, I'm going to keep learning, keep growing, the truth will eventually set you free. But you know the truth after you've continued. You don't learn enough in a week or a month. It takes a while, and you grow. And so first of all, you see that you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me just keep your finger in John 8, but let me just show you a beautiful verse there in Psalm 119, the great psalm on the scriptures. Psalm 119, the truth, the word of God sets you free. Sanctify, John. Jesus says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 45, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will walk at liberty, you're going to be free, for I seek thy precepts. So we are free by the word of truth, and we see that. Number two, Jesus sets us free. John 8:35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And let me go back to 34. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so it's a lot in there, but Jesus sets you free. You see it through Jesus Christ. You know, you can't be set free as an unsaved person, nor can you be set free by your own strength or will. You get rid of one sin, another one pops up because you are a creature that needs Jesus Christ to deliver you. And we'll give you how he does that in some other ways. But through the truth and through the power of Jesus Christ, also the Holy Spirit sets you free. Number one, we are free by the word of truth. Number two, Jesus sets us free. Number three, the Holy Spirit sets us free. Let me take it to Romans 8. I shouldn't read this verse yet because I'm going to read it later with some other verses. But Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So the Spirit sets you free, it says there. And then 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty is the opposite of bondage. There's liberty, there's freedom where the Spirit is. Number four, freedom. We can get freedom from works and law salvation. See, God can set us free, but we've got to get free from works and the law salvation and be set free by grace salvation. Let me take you to Galatians. There's a lot of Bible on this, and the whole book of Galatians is on this very specifically, the entire book. Romans 4, 5 are a lot about this, but let me just take you to Galatians 5. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, all over the book of Galatians, and all over many spots, including Romans 4 and other spots, it relates work salvation or being saved by keeping the law, it relates it to bondage. And it relates the salvation through Christ to freedom. Okay? Galatians 5, now look to the verse before. In chapter 4, verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Okay? So he says, you know what? If you go back to the law, you are being entangled again with the yoke of bondage that Christ set you free from. Now, the context of this, if you go back, let me take you back to a little bit earlier in chapter 2 of Galatians, and Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. I could teach you, again, a whole lesson on Galatians and bondage and freedom by salvation, but just some basics here. verse 4, Galatians 2, 4, and then because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out your liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Okay? So people came into the church. We have freedom. We have this thing called liberty in Christ Jesus. This liberty is you are not under the bondage of the law, it said in Galatians 5. The devil sent people in the church to bring them again into the bondage of the law. Keep the commandments. Don't touch. Don't do this. Keep this ritual. Keep this. Do this. Do this. And this will be your way to salvation. He says, you are set free from that. Do not be entangled again. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, it says. And so it is no longer. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay? So we see it's bondage to go back in. Then in chapter 4, he goes in and explains it with Hagar and Sarah and Isaac and Ishmael. And it's verse 21 to the end of chapter 4, verse 21 to the end. What he basically says, you had one child who was from a woman who was a slave. And from the world, Hagar. And Hagar was not Jewish. And she was a slave. And then Abraham tried to work salvation, tried to work the child of promise and get the promise through her. But God said, no, it's going to come from Sarah. And so they went out and got this from slavery. And they had a child from a slave, and this child was a slave who now had to obey and be a slave to Abraham and to Sarah, and they're kicked out and all these things. And it says that was a symbol that is about, then Sarah had the child of promise in due time, if he waited long enough, it would happen. And they had a child in due time, and that was the child of freedom. And that was a child of promise. And that was a child of salvation through Christ. And the picture of the promise of God, being trusting that promise of God, instead of trying to work your own way through slavery and bondage to the law. In verse 31, then, and I'm not going to read all the verses and explain it all to you. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free, because we're saved. So chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in liberty, with Christ has made us free. Liberty in the Bible, when it's talking about salvation, and it's talked about a lot, when it says liberty, what it means you are now saved. You are not trying to earn your salvation. Now you are at liberty. You're going to heaven already. You've been set free. You are no longer a slave. You are now a free person. You have liberty now. Now, do not use that liberty for bad. Since you do not have to serve and be a slave anymore, now go out and build and do good and be the right kind of person, do the right kind of thing. Jesus Christ set us free, and so you are now free. You're not entangled with the law and having to keep all the commandments and rituals and all the things there. And now you are going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. That means you have liberty now. Now you can serve God because you want to. Because you're free. But it ends a work salvation. You are now free from condemnation. Let's go back to that passage in Romans 8. You don't have to worry about being condemned anymore. You're free. So you're free now. You're not sitting there saying, am I good enough? Am I not good enough? No. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, the Bible says. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We could have read Galatians 2:16. We didn't. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ, so we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We're now free from that. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh, we couldn't keep it. We were sinners. God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says, you have been set free from the bondage of work salvation and keeping the law, and now you're free in Christ. Except for some people still say, well, it's me keeping the commandments. You're still in bondage. You're still in bondage. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. The belief. I'm already saved. I've been set free from the bondage of having to keep the commandments to go to heaven. Now I do them freely because I love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm not in bondage anymore. Amen. I'm free. Okay? And so we see that we are not under the law. And so you've been set free. And so we do not have to sit here in that bondage. Am I good enough? Did I do enough? Did I not do enough? No, you've been set free. Let me take you to that passage, 2 Corinthians, since we're near there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm afraid I'm a little too bogged down in this point, and we're going to have a lot more to go through. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. But their minds were blinded, the Jewish people who didn't believe in Christ. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is then away in Christ. But even unto this day, wherein Moses read, the veil is upon the heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, Israel, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So as soon as they see Christ, they will do that, and they will be saved. So freedom from works and law for salvation, and freedom because Christ paid it for it. Next, number 4, freedom from fear. Romans 8, we're going back there. Romans 8, freedom from fear. Romans 8, in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption again. whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. He says, you know what? We are not sitting here afraid we're not gods. We're not sitting here in the bondage of fear, of we're not good enough, of we have been adopted. Can you imagine a kid who's been foster home, foster home, foster home, foster home, and all of a sudden someone adopts him and says, and the kid is still becoming insecure. Am I going to get sent away? Am I going to go to another home? No, you're mine. You don't need to be afraid anymore. You're not in the bondage of fear. You don't need to live in fear anymore. Can I tell you this? God has set you free from fear. You might still live in that bondage, but God has set you free. The door of the cell is open, but you might be standing there at the back wall shaking the bars. But you've been set free from fear. We are not supposed to be living in fear. And look at what we already read, chapter all these verses. There is therefore no condemnation, verse 1. He set me free from sin and death. It's not a fearful life anymore. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You should not be in bondage to fear. But the devil makes you stay afraid. I'm afraid somebody's going to abandon me. I'm afraid these people aren't going to love me. I'm afraid that I'm not going to have my needs met. I'm afraid that I'm not going to be strong enough. I'm afraid that I'm going to fail. You have not been given the spirit of fear. And you know you're in bondage when you sit here and shake in all your decisions. You're in bondage to fear still. But God has not given us that spirit of fear. God has set us free from the fear. He says, you're my children. Be secure. Okay? My kids don't live in fear all the time. Are we going to be able to eat today? Is Dad going to leave today? Are we going to have a home tomorrow? They don't live that way. They don't live that way because of who their dad is. Okay? I'm fallible. I can fail. I can do all kinds of things wrong. But I'm decent enough that my kids don't live in fear with that stuff like many kids do. Okay? Listen. Who's your father? Your father in heaven, what are you afraid of? Your daddy can whoop anybody. Amen. Why would you live in fear? He's not giving us that spirit of fear. He said, I am your father. And he says, right there, he says, we've not received the spirit, verse 15, Romans 8, 15, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but receive the spirit of adoption. Wherever we cry, Abba, Father. Can you not be in bondage anymore to fear? Stop living and making all your decisions. God, can I tell you, there's a couple things people make foolish decisions in. Number one, they make decisions in confusion. I don't know what to do. I better do something. No. God is not the author of confusion. Second thing, you never make a decision in fear. That's a devil leading you by fear. God leads by peace. The devil leads by fear. Amen. Okay, you don't live in fear. You don't live in the bondage. Fear binds you up and you feel like, I can't. No, I better not. I better not try that. No, I can't do it. No, I won't make it. No, I might get laughed at. No one might like me. No, they live in this. They live in the no world. Not the Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me world. Because of fear. Doesn't mean you're not shy, and when you talk to somebody, your heart's pumping. No problem. That's some of us are like that. Some people are. Some of us live with that. It's fine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking you choose to fail, and you choose not try, and you choose not go forward. And sometimes you even say no to God because you're afraid. God calls someone to preach. They're afraid they can't do it. No. Don't be in bondage to fear. Don't be in bondage to fear. Next, we have freedom from a corrupt creation. We're here in Romans 8, and we're continuing on there. Freedom from a corrupt creation. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation that looking forward to of the creature, that's nature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means when we come back, ruling with Christ. because the world is fixed. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because a creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Notice that all of nature is in bondage, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and paineth together until now. But not they only, but we ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. You know what? It says we are in bondage in this body, but we have been set free because we know we're getting a new one. This world's messed up. The world's got thorns, and the world's got disease, and the world's got troubles. But it's going to be set free one day through Jesus Christ when he comes. And so it's a freedom from the corrupt creation. I'm so glad that I get a new model in heaven, new body. Thank God. A lot of us in this room right now are ready to trade in our old model. How much can I get for it? And I get my new one. And why? Because we are ready for Jesus to come back and fix this messed up world. We're not in bondage when we know we're going to be set free with new bodies. Next, freedom. To become a servant of God and righteousness. Romans 6. Many of these chapters are good chapters to memorize if you want to memorize a passage. Romans 6 is great. Romans 8 is great. I think Romans 6 might be the first chapter I memorized. I'm not sure. Romans 8 was one of them. These are all great chapters and have so much in them. Freedom to become a servant of God and righteousness. Romans 6. And let's look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By the way, someone's going to listen to this sermon who believes in work salvation somewhere on the internet somewhere. They're going to say, yeah, you believe that it's not your good works. It's just Christ alone. What are you going to do? Go rob banks and kill people all day? You know, the Bible answers your question if you read Romans 6. Okay? Whoever you are listening to this sermon, read Romans 6. It answers your question. Read the Bible. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants to who ye are to whom ye obey. Whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. There's two options there. Notice that. You're going to be someone's servant. You got to get that. You're going to be somebody's servant. Sin unto death, obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin. But have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For ye were the servants of sin. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit you have in those things, wherever you are now ashamed, the end of those things is death. Notice that there. So many things in that passage, so many things to teach there. But first of all, it just says that you were free from righteousness. You were a servant of sin, and I was a servant of sin. And even a cleaned up person who doesn't do a bunch of bad things, they're proud. They're proud, and they're a servant of pride. But when they got set free from the power of sin, they got released from the prison, they became a servant to the one who set them free. Now, it's interesting. In the Greek, the word servant and slave are actually the same Greek word, but they're used differently by context. The word doulos is the word. But it comes out, and by context, you got to realize that you can be a willing servant. In the Old Testament, it's called a bond servant. But a servant who's willing to serve somebody. Now, you have to understand, humans have got two options. They serve sin, which is either serving self or just immorality. Either one is sin. Or they serve God in righteousness. So you've been set free from the power of sin. We've seen that in many, many points here. But now you're free to serve God in righteousness. Now you can become God's servant. You ever notice Paul in all his books? He's this great apostle, and the first thing he says in every book, Paul, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's glad, the doulos, the same word. I'm a slave. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm his, willingly. See, we got free, and now we've got to choose who we're going to serve because we're free. Do you want to go back and serve sin and self and the devil and go back in the cage? You can. The cage will hold you if you want us to be inside of it. You can walk out if you want, or you can walk out of the prison and go serve the king and get all the benefits. And by the way, if you do that, he's going to adopt you and make you his child. It's not a bad deal. So you got to choose and to serve righteousness. Let's go to Romans 7. Boy, I'm glad I have people at church who can listen to so much doctrine and listen so well. This is a lot of stuff here, a lot of information. And you're still with me, I think. Let me see, make sure. Candy. Okay. And Romans 7. And so Romans 7, verse 22. Again, a lot of these are going to say kind of the same things. First, Romans 7, 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. Captivity, there it is, bondage, to the law of sin in which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You got to choose to serve God in righteousness. And then you continue on. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit inside of me, salvation, the freedom that's been given to me, the freedom from fear, the freedom to serve God, the freedom from the work of salvation has set me free. I'm not in bondage anymore. Unless I want to serve the flesh and sin, then I'm back in bondage. I will choose to go back in to the cage if I want to. And you can do that, and many people do. But God will set you free. Ye shall know the truth shall set you free, the Son shall make you free, ye shall be in free indeed. And Romans 6 just told us, hey, you've been set free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so we see this, and we are set free. So why do so many Christians live in bondage? Well, look at this. There's one word in here, that Romans 6. Let me go back to Romans 6, give you one word, and we'll start finishing up here. Romans 6 and verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye are to whom you obey. Whoever you yield yourself to, you become their servant, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of man, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members in the past, servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants of righteousness unto holiness. There is a yielding and saying, God, my life is yours. I'm yielding to you. You set me free. I now become your servant. And you yield to God with your life. A man was at a circus, and he's walking around the circus, and I think he was a reporter, but I was just reading about this, and he was going around, and this is a long time ago, and he looked, and there was these elephants. Big, strong elephants that would carry things and do the shows and do all those things. And you notice these elephants were tied with a little rope and a little wood stake and tied to their back leg. And he's looking going, I could pull that stake out of the ground if I pulled hard enough. And so all these elephants are tied, back leg or front leg, tied to a little, you know, a little stake driven in the ground and a piece of rope. They could break the rope or pull a stake out. And they can start trampling, they can do all kinds of damage, they can run away, they can do all kinds of things. So finally this man who is so fascinated by this and just seeing the elephant just sitting there and not trying to go anywhere, he goes and he finds a trainer, he asks around, he finally finds a trainer, he says, why do you only use a little tiny stake and a little tiny rope to go and hold these giant elephants down? Can't they pull them out? And he says, if they forget, they can pull them out just by taking a step. He says that they can, that'll never hold them if they want to get free. He says, why is that all you do? He says, no, well, when we get all these elephants and their babies, and we tie them with a chain to a concrete block to their leg, same leg. And They pull and they yank and they can't stand it and they can't stand it and they don't like it here and they don't like it here and they yank and they yank and they yank and they yank and they try and try and try and try and try and get it the morning they try. And then after a while they quit pulling so much. After a while they quit pulling altogether. They never try again. And he says, once we've got them broken to think that they are tied up and that they cannot pull it out, he says, they quit trying. And so now these are all broken. So now they, as soon as they feel the resistance, they know they're tied. They have been trained to think they are not free. And so they never try to tug against it because they're used to the bondage. And so they don't try and they think they can't. And if another elephant was smart enough, look at them and say, hey, you know what? That's a little stake there. They'd say, you know, I've tried before and I was never able to do it. I can't get free. But he says, if they ever figured out that they're not really in bondage, they'd escape. But they don't try anymore. You have got Almighty God on your side. You have been set free from the power of sin. But you might have tried and tried and tried. Maybe you weren't saved. Maybe you didn't know the good teaching of the scripture, whatever. And so what you do is you settle in and say, well, I'll never stop doing that, but I'm not too bad anymore. And the devil has no power over you. But you do not yield to God. You yield to the bondage that really doesn't have power over you. The cell door is open. You're just looking at the wrong wall. The rope is not that strong. You're a child of God. And the devil's lied to you and said you can never be free. But the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. There's victory. There's the power of God. There's great things you can do. You do not have to be a servant of sin. Yield yourself unto God. Say, I'm going to do right. I'll find a way. God's going to give me the victory. And you go forward and yank on the rope. You'll find victory. Or you can say, I'm tied. I've tried it before. The power of God. If you yield yourselves unto God, you'll find a great victorious God. But the devil is a liar and tells you you're in bondage. You are in the middle of the South in 1865 at some rural plantation, and you're a slave, and the war is over, and the slaves are set free. But your master won't tell you. Walk off the plantation. You're free. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we'd realize the wonderful freedom we have in Christ. Freedom from trying to work our way to heaven. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. And all the Lord, we're so blessed. We're so free. Lord, may we be free in Christ. May we realize that Jesus Christ set us free. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for what it teaches us. I pray tonight that some mighty elephants would yank out the little stake that in their mind is holding them in. And may we become mighty Christians, Father, and go forward and trounce the devil. And we thank you, Lord, for the freedom in Christ. May we know that victory. And if someone tonight is still in the bondage of keeping the law, may they realize Christ has set us free. And we thank you for your word that teaches us these things about freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.